Hello, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Zenilith. And driving along the highway, I've been having some fun trying to figure out what cell service I am connected to. Up on the Cap Rock, I am connected to Plateau Cell. So I'm kind of guessing that Plateau would have really great cell coverage up on the Cap, which is nice. Have not so good cell coverage down here on the lowlands. I'm now coming into San Juan, and the phone company I kind of snagged here is Alltel, and so I'm kind of guessing that Alltel's got a cell site here close by. I can see a tower, but I don't know if that's a tower for cell or if that's a tower for something else. Let's take a look. I can always check it. Boy, I've got a strong signal here. So I'm kind of guessing that that's what I have. Let me go ahead and change this thing to a new thing. Now that I've done it a few times, I can do it pretty good. Okay. Searching for network. Got it. Let's see. Star 6. I always do star 6. I don't know. I've always just known that that's the right thing to call. And boy, let me tell you, once you turn it on, the signal really drops. I think the cell that I'm right next to is probably an Alltel. There we go. It's starting to bump back up again. Let's see if we get a connection out of it. Oh, now it's... Whoa, it's really high. I rarely see it that high. But I'm not making a connection. Go figure. Anyway, so I'm probably going to pull over here in San Juan just to find out how my coverage is doing. Oh, God. Well, always interesting. Oh, now it says I don't have any service at all, which is weird. I must be getting a reflection from somewhere. Let me pull over here. Sometimes it helps to be in one place and just sit still for a minute. All of a sudden, things get a lot better. And let's see. It's like good coverage, you know. It's really funny. It goes from zero up to the max. Now I'm connected. Here we go. We're going to find out where I am and who I talk to. Yeah, now it's trying to unplug it. This is Alltel. Alltel, so this is an Alltel place. Okay. So San Juan is Alltel country. And we got to know that. We're doing a little survey to see how this stuff goes. Because I'm going to have to make some decisions here pretty soon as to what kind of cell phone service we ultimately get. Anyway, kind of cool looking sunset going on. It was probably cooler before, but still pretty cool. Got some of the oranges and the lavenders, and just kind of groovy looking. Fantastic. I'm actually on old Route 66. Well, not much on this section of it. There's a old gas station nearby. Kind of a neat little territory where it's a little bit separated from everything else. It's kind of in a little alcove by itself, and I'm just thinking back. I had a bloody nose earlier today. I have bloody nose all the time. And happened to happen while I was at work. Usually I don't have that happen. It's rare that I have a bloody nose in front of other people, but I did this time, and I just, it wasn't controlling. And I think I've got nades that are very close to my nasal passages. Therefore, you know, I've got all these problems. Ugh! Problems, problems, problems. Well, since this is quasi-indefatigable xenolith, I can talk about whatever I want to, and I don't have to be really interesting. Because, well, honestly, I don't have to be interesting on these recordings. I can talk about this, whatever comes to mind. And even though on the podcast I try to have something going on, you know, doesn't necessarily always work. The last podcast episode I had, I was talking about the whole cell phone thing and doing my first little experiment. And it'd be really great if Plateau Tell and La Jicarita worked together. I think that would solve most of my problems. Unfortunately, I don't think Plateau Tell provides digital service to anybody. I don't think they do that. So all the sites I was hitting on to were analog ones, and that's not very useful to me. I need something that's got some digital service too. So I may have to remain kind of split in two, although it looks like Altel is really going to be the good provider here. Let me try this, now that I'm back in digital country. Let me get some statistics from my other phone that I rarely use. My speakerphone. Tools. Options. Do I have my speakerphone? I need a speakerphone. I don't know. I'm trying to remember how I make my speaker. Oh, I mash down on the keypad, I think. Is that how I do it? Edit. No. Tools. No. That doesn't do it. Options. Alerts. Service. Security. Okay. Okay, it doesn't work here. That's right, it's the same dang problem I always have here. Oh, okay, so I do have some phone service here. Actually, it's pretty good, depending on how I'm breathing at any given moment. Okay, let's see where I'm living now. With my little speakerphone here.
We're sorry, but we're unable to process your call.
This is Altel.
Dial star 611 from your wireless phone. Altel 79.
Altel 79, okay. Anyway, all right. Well, there's that. Good time to check this because I'll have my phone disconnected for a while. So, I'm headed home, walking home, and it's a Wednesday. Tomorrow I'm off to Santa Rosa, like I said, so and that'll be Thursday. Hopefully we'll get everything knocked out. I need to install a new computer, and I need to make a few last-minute changes to things. And then I think I'll be done with all these installations. I can finally start concentrating on the next big project, which is a bunch of trainings that they want to have happen. And my question is, you know, how long does it take to teach these people what to do? And, you know, so how much time do I really need to block out? I guess I'll just do one once a day and go from there. I really don't know. That's my big question, is how long should a typical training take? Should it take hours? You know, now I don't know. It's work-related. Doesn't matter. I'm pretty much after hours now anyway. Okay, so, I was talking a little bit this morning about, gotcha, that turning into a radio show, and I like that because I think that's something that's manageable by us. Now, I don't know how many voices I can come up with myself. I don't know how many voices my family can come up with. I know Lisa's pretty good at voices. He's really good. Matthew Nemro to do our Foley work, you know. You know, I think between me and that, and probably everybody else, I think we can come up with a pretty smashing soundtrack. Depends on the kind of characters that we ultimately have as to what, how it's going to go. Anyway, so I think there's a really interesting idea. And I think we could probably pull that off. Now, whether it'll be popular or not, you know, it's just up to anybody. I think we'll turn it into a podcast, ultimately. You can do it episodic, or you can do it all in the various shots. You know, I foresee either four, you know, well, I think about putting in the movies. There were four movies. I guess they would kind of be along that length. And then you'd have different episodes on each thing. Anyway, so. And like I said, well, I'm not going to name the four episodes. Although it would help probably to do that, Jay, because I'm going to forget. The first one is called Escape. The second one is called No. The first one is called Revelation. The second one is called Prophecy. The third one is called Escape. And the fourth one is called Deliverance. So you have to have all those different elements there. And kind of so I kind of need to ultimately storyboard it. And come up with different things that I really want to have happen at each individual place, and then start breaking it down, and then produce a script off of it. I think that'd be the best. And I think I want to push this thing to the front panel because I just like to get it done. You know, and then if it gets popular and people start clamoring for a book, then I can produce the dang book based on the information that we got out of the radio play. So that's what we're gonna do right there. You know, we're gonna make a nice little radio play, and it's it's going to run separately, and it's going to be, you know, and hopefully it'll be pretty cool, and, make for some pretty nice stuff. Of course, I'm going to keep the thing kind of we'll see how low the bandwidth can go before it starts getting really ratty and sounds really bad. I think this particular one is good only for voice. 16K BPS might be good enough for tinny music. Now, I think that's what we're going to pretty much have. And I want it to be, you know, especially the first one, Escape, I want that to be kind of a mournful thing. So it's just, you know, it's not going to be graphic at all, but it will certainly be, it'll certainly be really good. I mean, we're probably going to have to drop off all the references I used to have, and that's probably pretty good because they were almost kind of sensual in a way, and so we need to kind of let that go. We need to find some way to make it so that it has to be a believable thing that women in charge could really work. And I can't get past the fact that I think that women can really dominate men by, and it needs to be by things that women are good at. I don't want the women to be butch and to overpower men. That's kind of the whole Amazon look. Or, you know, the whole Amazon outlook on life, that you can find women who are just clearly physically superior, and that's the only way men will be quelled, is by superior physicality. But it's got to be a way that women have, you know, women's wiles, that they can be able to do that. And I can think that it's only kind of toying with them on kind of a sensual level, and keeping men kind of dim about things. You know, they're mostly reproductive units, and they do all the heavy lifting. So, you know, and they're slaves in that kind of a fashion, you know. They are tools. They are tools in the hands of women. And so if you had what was basically just a women's world, how that would function. And, you know, and I guess I've always seen it as kind of how do you say it? Kind of a tit for tat. Well, no. Kind of having the power of knowing other people's weaknesses and using that to your advantage. You know, women are much more about being crafty than they are about being strong and bold and stuff like that. They're much more about crafty and being manipulative when they are in a position of power, and they're wanting to keep that power. I think those were the tools that they would use, where men would tend to be really, you know, crushing, you know, and trying to use force on you, and being really physical and strong arm tactics. Women tend to co-opt you, tend to be sneakier, craftier, smarter, fleeter on their feet, more devious, more cunning, and that's how they win. Because that's often how they win over men, even in our culture. So it isn't that the men and women are essentially different in this culture. It's just that the tools that women tend to use to get power work better in their culture, just because society says they do. You know, strength is meaningless because all the women will turn on you, and you will have no place. You will have no status. Women have a very, at least these women, the convocation has a very higher hierarchical. I don't know how to say that. They have a hierarchy, so they put men in that hierarchy too. I mean, they never compete directly with women, of course. That's not it. But they put all the men into a hierarchy. You know, each. But you know, it's always done through on a small scale. Men are always kept on a small scale. They can never rise to greatness because they're always connected to one house or to another house. You know, which for the women's world, there are women and there are ladies. Ladies, their lowest realm is to be the leader of a house. So men are always on this hierarchy below any ladies. You know, there is women's work and there is men's work in a household. And you tend to use that as a thing too. Women tend to get the brain work, and men tend to get the brawn work, you know, scrubbing, doing all those things. Women tend to handle the bookkeeping, the secretarial work, the bureaucracy is made up of women. I mean, there's ladies in there too, but they're always the managing director of this, you know, the director of that, whatever. Ladies will always be in the leadership roles, and that's what you do with them. You know, you have to find places for ladies because, well, no, that's not true because they have a nursery, and you know, and in that nursery, you're part of, I guess it's a secret, I'm not sure. Part of the secret of what goes on there is that you know, those who really don't have what it takes to be a lady are shuffled off almost immediately. Even if they came from a lady, even though there are myths, there is a structure to propagate those myths, even though they can't be sustained. One of the great things that we find out is Samantha, who is who is one of the very powerful ladies, high matrons, practically, that, you know, it makes it so that she's trying to make the dream come true. That's one of the things we kind of run into, is she's trying to create a super race that actually works. She's kind of tied in with Sabra's, which is the very first queen of the convocation is Sabra. Well, actually, she wasn't. She was the very first woman to propagate these ideas that there was a stratification and it was based on reality. And, you know, and she's basically wrong, but that's not really, that's neither here nor there, you know. She was trying to breed a women's only club. She was trying to come up with men and women, super women, and men that could only create super women. That was what she was trying to do. She was trying to create a race of super women. She was trying to make a reality. When she couldn't do that, she manufactured the society that they had that made it appear that she was able to do it. You know, she was so invested in this women's superiority club that she had to make it look that way. And ultimately, she did. She succeeded doing that, even though she didn't succeed at the first thing. Samantha, who we come to understand, or who we learn about in the actual story. It isn't, she's the historical figure. She's an actual character in the story. She is kind of trying to find a way to make the reality of this come true, and she's been doing some studying, and she's been taking careful note of records. And that's where we get introduced to Melisenda and Davor, is through her research. Davor is, she thinks he's one of these men that will produce only women. You know, he came from a family, or he came from birth circumstances where he was the only son to a whole string of daughters, along with a whole string of daughters that came from, you know, a breeder. And he was also, and the records of the consort of his biological mother was also the same way. So she thinks she's got a winner here. She thinks she's found the anomaly, and she's going to try to duplicate it with Davor. She likes Julia because even though she wants to create a race of superwomen, she wants those women to be controllable by the powers that be. She wants the powers that be to be herself. Samantha does. So she takes an interest in Melisenda from the fact that she's just drop dead gorgeous. She's you know, she has all the physical attributes that are wanted, but she's really quiet, she's really reserved, and she, by every appearance, she appears to be very obedient. And so she's wanting to bring these two together because that's the kind of women she wants to breed. Are more of Melisenda, even. But the problem is, Melisenda is actually the poison that is going to bring all, not just bring Samantha's plans down, but the whole system of the convocation is going to come down based on Melisenda and the fact that she isn't what she appears to be. It's just that simple. She just isn't what she appears to be. So, you know, I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to go pretty well. I need to get some gas here, and then I'm going to get ready to go on to other places. This is pretty cheap gas. Gas here in Tucumcari's? It's not the cheapest, but it's cheaper than almost everything else in the region, which is really nice and really good. And so I'm going to make sure and get a fill up here before I go anyplace else, because I've been having to pay kind of high prices just because circumstances didn't let me do that. There's always more to talk about with Godsend. We're going to keep going for it and keep having fun. This is Jay Nebro. You're listening to Quasi-Indefatigable Gentleman. Have a great day.